Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Dr. Jackie Kelly, and I work with Long Number.
Good evening. This is your host, Scott Jackson, and I'm going live on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. Suzanne Elder is supposed to be here in this radio show. She has yet to be here, so she may be running late. Give her a little opportunity here to join in. If I see her on the call list there, then I'll welcome her in. But for right now, I just wanted to give you an overview of what the show is about, and that is the Care of Students with Diabetes Act, and it is to be an interview with the creator of that act, Susan Elder. The Care of Students with Diabetes Act. Suzanne wrote this bill that passed the House this spring, and it's currently into the Senate. And as I did look that up, and it looked like the bill has passed. So that is awesome news. So the Care of Students with Diabetes Act began simply as a petition by a citizen to redress a wrong against children with diabetes and their families. Now, this work began after her daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And then a progressive Democrat for state senator, 7th District, who stated, and I quote, "I learned then what too many other families already knew. Access to school, education rights, disability rights, services and many other families already, services and accommodations guaranteed by federal law are not given, not in Illinois, not for kids with diabetes or other disabilities." Suzanne headed to Springfield, Illinois, the beginning of March of 2010. And this being her state capital, she testified at a committee hearing about the Care of Students with Diabetes Act. In November of 2008, she appeared on NBC with her daughter. And the Care of Students with Disabilities Act is a House Bill number 6065 and a Senate Bill 3822, if you'd like to look those up. And I'm going to briefly explain that, but I do want to make sure that she's not chiming in, and I don't see her in the call list or anybody into the call list. So, and as far as the chat room, we do have a guest. Welcome, guest. It only shows guest Ruth 3149 on here, but I welcome you to the show. I am looking forward to having Suzanne Elder on here, so, and I know I did provide her with the information to get on here. So, she may be running late, but she's a very, very busy woman, and the show will and can go on, and I'm sure she can provide some afterthought on this if she's not able to make it to the show. But let me go on and tell you about the bill here. It's the Care of Students with Diabetes Act. It provides a clear plan for students who need assistance with care at school. It allows school staff to serve as delegated care aides to assist students with diabetes. It allows parents and others to provide training for delegated care aides. It sets forth what a student with diabetes must be permitted to do while in school. It prohibits a school district from denying access or restricting the assignment of a student with diabetes to a particular school. It requires that an information sheet be provided to any school employee who transports a student for school-sponsored activities. It also provides protections for school employees against retaliation, civil immunity, and rights under federal law. The Care of Students with Diabetes Act. Representative Tom Cross, Representative Oswego, Republican Oswego, and Senator Heather Steins, Democrat of Chicago, filed joint legislation this month that will protect the health and civil rights of children with diabetes. Similar legislation was also filed in California this month. The genesis of this legislation and the leadership now championing in the case of serendipity meets political pragmatism. There we go. After her young daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes in 2006, Suzanne Elder and her family faced another crisis. She was forced to quit her job to provide the basic care that her daughter needed to stay in school. Diabetes is hard enough, she said. I had to make sure that what happened to my family didn't happen to anyone else. A University of Chicago trained policy analyst, Elder, saw the problem for what it was, a state policy failure, and went to work. I called every state legislator with even a glancing association with diabetes. Okay, it looks like I have a caller on the air, and I'm going to welcome her in. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
How did you know that I was a woman?
Well, I don't know, to be honest with you, but it sounds like you are. It's great to have you. Isn't that something, huh? Who am I speaking with?
This is Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. Nice to hear you tonight.
Yeah, actually, quite surprised. I didn't realize your voice would sound like it does, but it does. Okay. So regarding Suzanne, it's really something that I admire that a parent was able to take something that she had passion for and turn it into law. And that is something that more parents need to do. And you know, I know she's still working on it, but you know, it's just absolutely amazing that she's able to take it as far as she has. And, you know, more of us need to be like her, and that's something I certainly admire.
Oh, exactly, exactly. My daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when she was 8 years old, and she's now 13. She does wear a pump on the outside of her, and that's her pancreas on the outside. And we are so... actually very fortunate to have a school system that with the teachers in our area here in on the East Coast in Maine that really pay particular attention, close attention to this children with special needs. And that's basically what it is. It is a special need. But the child also has, you know, protection under Americans with Disabilities Act, and I'm so glad that Suzanne has really built this act. She looks like as far back as I can read, she's been working on this since as early as 1997 to get this to be passed. So it's really a great thing. And as I was reading through and looking through, just in case Suzanne didn't show up tonight, which I said, like I said before, she's probably very busy. She's a very busy woman. I can see that all over the internet here. But it looks like the most recent thing that I have here is on March 2nd, 2010, and that's when she told me she was going to be going to the Senate. And it looks like it says here, the CARE Act passes the Senate Public Health Committee on a 10-0 vote. Isn't that awesome?
Wow, that is absolutely something, you know, too. I bet that was a moment that she'll never forget as well. And I think that will probably be something she carries with her the rest of her life, and knowing that she succeeded and helping not only her own child, but other children out there who really need the help. And that is just so awesome. And, you know, I am just amazed with her success, and I hope that she takes it further and, you know, she keeps pushing as far as it can go. And, man, what a great moment it must have been for her.
I know, isn't it? Isn't it just a, it's just something, it's like a domino effect too, you know, once this gets passed here, and I know they're looking at that law, if not already passed in the Senate seat in California, they're also been looking at California for that law. So it's just going to be like a domino effect, and I know she probably knows this already because she's worked hard on it. But, you know, it's just going to, it's going to be great for other states to adopt this as well. And we do, like you said, we do need to push on this. And I know the American Diabetes Association is pushing on this. I've done diabetes walks at my child's school. Where we get a whole bunch of, a group of kids together that are interested in, and, you know, we offer them prizes, T-shirts, things like that. But the main idea here is to take control, to find a cure, and to fight discrimination. And the American Disabilities Act does do things for kids with diabetes. They, number one, they do advocacy. They have books and resources. They have a diabetes camp, which my daughter has not been able to attend in years past because it's just, I don't know if it's overprotectiveness of us parents, or if it's because of the long, you know, the far away place, you know, because we have concerns with her, of course, with highs and lows of blood sugars, and you know, where it's so important to keep that under control. If it's not under control, you know, they could go into diabetic coma or ketoacidosis, which is very life threatening. So it's not something to play with. So it's good to see that they're having a diabetes camp. The ADA, the American Diabetes Association, also does family resource networking. They send out parents e-newsletters. They do print on demands. They research for cures. They do a school walk for diabetes, which I said we have done here in the past as well. And they have what's called a wisdom kit, which is kind of awesome. The wisdom kit is a whip and wisdom for kids with diabetes in their families. And parents need only to call at 1-800-DIABETES or 1-800-342-2383. Or you can email askada@diabetes.org. That's A-S-K-A-D-A at diabetes.org. Or you can visit the diabetes.org/wisdom to get a free kit. And we'd also be happy to send the free wisdom referral pads to diabetes care providers' offices. And they also have a youth zone website, which is pretty cool. The American Diabetes Association Youth Zone website is the cool site just for kids with diabetes. And for meal plans and insulin schedules to exercise and the social scene, they have the important information that kids want to know about diabetes. So
yeah,
you can check out their fun games and their in the brain section and lots more. And to visit the Youth Zone at Youth Zone, It's all one word, youthzone.diabetes.org. And if you're a teen with diabetes, they have a website specifically for teens. It's called diabetes.org/teens. So it's really kind of cool to see. I know the American Diabetes Association does a lot for kids. I know they also have a juvenile onset ADA plan program. They do everything from helping kids through like hurricanes, like they helped out in Hurricane Katrina victims. They just do so much for people, and I'm so glad for Susan Elder to be able to get this act passed. What an awesome goal, and you know, it's just amazing. What do you think, Melissa?
Yeah, like I said, I just think that it's an amazing thing for her to be able to do, and she must have put so much effort into it. And I'm so excited that she has succeeded, because that gives parents hope, you know, all over the place, of cross boundaries of disabilities and other things that, you know, it really is something special that she was able to conquer. And, you know, it just brings so much hope, especially the moms like myself. So I'm very impressed with her.
It does. Thank you so much for calling, Susan.
No problem, Scott.
Thank you so much for calling in, Melissa.
Thanks so much. Talk to you soon. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And that was Melissa. Thank you, Melissa. We have all kinds of exciting things that we can do in our local communities. And that's number one, we can advocate in our local communities, which the advocation, you know, the advocating goes forward too. It's far outspread. Into the whole United States. It could be across, you know, even overseas. So it's important. It's an important thing to get started. Now, School Walk for Diabetes, they usually hold these, you know, in different areas all over the place throughout the entire year, all over the United States, in fact. There's a Stephanie Raveling, she's a market manager, School Walk, for the northeastern United States. She's the contact person. She's can be contacted on 330 Congress Street on the fifth floor in Boston, Massachusetts, 02210, area code 617-482-4580. At extension 3470, that's extension 3470, or you can dial the toll-free number to meet talk to Stephanie Raveling at 888-342-2383. She also has a website, an email address at sraveling, R-A-V-E-L-I-N-G, at diabetes.org. And I've spoken with Stephanie Raveling over the phone on occasion when I was doing the School Walk for Diabetes, and she's just a miraculous person, just a very, very uppity and get going type of thing. You know, it's great to have people that like to raise awareness and that have such a passion for this, like Suzanne Elder. And of course, the School Walks for Diabetes, as thank you gifts, they also, if your school raises, you know, $25,000, $15,000, $10,000, $7,000, $5,000, $2,000, they have gifts available for the kids as well as the school coordinators. The Walk for Diabetes, School Walk for Diabetes, it's an educational fundraising event that raises money for diabetes research, and it also teaches children about the benefits of healthy lifestyle. So, in supporting this, the American Diabetes Association will aid the volunteer coordinator with any questions or concerns that he or she may have during the planning and walk process. Each volunteer coordinator receives a school walk kit that contains everything that he or she will need to plan and organize the walk. This kit contains the following: a volunteer coordinator's guidebook, a classroom reading material, the ADA and Diabetes Resource Manual, coordinator's t-shirts, two of them, U.S. Games catalog, instructions for online fundraising, collection envelopes for students, and posters to advertise the event in the school. The benefits of this are the school, volunteer coordinator, and students all benefit from the School Walk for Diabetes. The schools that raise over $1,000 will receive no less than 10% back towards the purchase of playground or gym equipment from the U.S. Games. Volunteer coordinators receive an individual prize if this school raises over $2,000, and students who raise at least $10 receive a prize, which is really good. The most important benefit is that the students will learn more about diabetes and the importance of regular exercise and healthy eating in order to prevent diseases such as type 2 diabetes. And there's more. And the New Balance Foundation is a proud sponsor for the School Walk for Diabetes. So again, you can contact Stephanie Raveling if you're interested in doing a school walk. Also, they have, not only do they have school walks, they have Walk for Diabetes in your local area. They have Biking for Diabetes. They just have so many different things. And the American Diabetes Association also just provides so many resources for the children so that they can help, helps them to understand what diabetes is all about. And that it's not about, ew, yuck, you know, this kid next to me has diabetes, and oh, don't touch her, you'll catch it, you know. And that was the view of a few school children when my daughter first was diagnosed with it. And but as the school and the teachers became more aware and, you know, and worked through some of our classes that we had to, my wife mainly, had to go to the school and talk to the teachers about, you know, the different levels of insulin that she was getting and how many times she was supposed to check her blood, when she checks her blood. And it's important to note that, you know, a lot of students may have, that have diabetes that wear a pump, an insulin pump, or even without, sorry, even without an insulin pump, when they have to do finger pricks, which is all with all diabetes patients. It's important to note that, you know, they may want their privacy. I know in particular my daughter likes to have privacy when she's doing her finger pricks and things like that. So I just want to go further. I know this is not about the American Diabetes Association, but they do so much to help as well. And I don't see Suzanne Elder coming in here tonight. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but I know that I'll be able to talk to Suzanne later and reschedule a time when she'll be able to make it on a show. And if not, I know she'll provide the information that I can put up available on my Facebook page. You can contact me at Scott Jackson. And I'm all over Facebook. I also site coordinator on the and owner of two Delphi forum sites. That is Ask Caregivers Attic. And the other one is the Diabetes, Assistance for Diabetes. The first one, again, is Assistance for Ask Caregivers Attic, and that's for caregivers of anyone, anyone that does caregiving. It's very helpful resources. I'm also in coordination with three or four other sites that we have on there. We have, excuse me, I need to clear my throat. We've had over 13,000 people just chime in, and their questions are either answered, and if we can't find an answer for them, provide an answer immediately, we can find an answer for them. So that's good. It's a good, valuable resource. I know another good, valuable resource can be your internet. So, you know, you can look up when the ADA has their walks or the juvenile Diabetes Foundation has their walks and help raise awareness in your schools. Even if you don't have a child with diabetes, you probably, somebody out there knows somebody that has diabetes. And that alone can give you enough initiative to say, okay, look, I need to make people more aware of this. I know in our area, like I said, I hosted a American Diabetes Association school walk for diabetes. The school just did outstanding. They provided a certificate for the elementary school for their outstanding commitment to the organization's efforts and for participating in the 2004 to 2005 School Walk for Diabetes. Now, I do want to take us back, so I'm just going to have a little bit of a filler time in here, so bear with me while I look up the information. So just a second, and I'll be right back, right after this. Thank you. I'll be, and so I just wanted to locate some information. Suzanne Elder says, diabetes is hard enough. I had to make sure that what happened to my family didn't happen to anyone else. A University of Chicago-trained policy analyst, Elder saw the problem for what it was, state policy failure, and went to work. She called every legislator, which I had spoken about before. The only one legislator bothered to call her back. Elder didn't know it at the time, but Representative Cross, the House Minority Leader, had the same personal understanding of diabetes that she did. His daughter has diabetes too. He pledged his support. Elder went on to build a statewide network of more than 1,400 affected families and advocates. She helped parents negotiate solutions for nearly 200 children and their schools, solicited support from their legislators and advocacy groups, and even drafted the legislation for Illinois and advocates in other states. But it wasn't enough. Maybe a year or so into this project, she was up to her neck. She had no money for the lawsuits. Families were coming forward, and she couldn't do all the work herself. So some of these problems were horrendous, and they needed lawyers. There aren't many firms that specialize in this area of law, and those that do, they usually represent school districts. Besides, says Elder, most families just don't have an extra $25,000 to $50,000 for a lawsuit. They are already spending that amount to manage their child's diabetes, and that's important to note, too, that the expenses of supplies are just horrendous. You wouldn't believe the expenses of supplies. I know my wife is a pharmacy technician, and she has to pay the full price like everybody else does for diabetes supplies for my daughter's insulin pump, which it's a Medtronix mini med pump, which you can, it's pretty simple to use, but of course we had to go through some training, and that was after initial nutritionist evaluation, which provided a lot of really lengthy but very healthy information as into eating habits, different foods that would provide, you know, good carbs versus bad carbs. Just to raising the awareness around there about nutritional programs. Now, I know most of the schools in the area now have very nutritious meals. So I don't think that's going to be a problem here. I think what's going to be the problem is if this act is passed, which it looks like it's being passed, it's gotten through to the Senate at least, you know, on the 2nd of this past month, thanks to Suzanne Elder, that, you know, it won't be long before people will start speaking up, and I just hope, and I'll be one of them. I hope that people are speaking up, you know, to their senators, to their legislators, trying to enact bills if they are in need. Now, I know in this particular part of the state, I have mentioned this before, but that in the state of Maine, where I live on the East Coast, they have such a very good school system, excellent teachers. The teachers there are very, they're well trained in what they do, in helping the students with diabetes. And I know, personally, I know that our doctor provided the school teachers throughout the years with information, little kits, even a handout to classmates in school saying, you know, this is not a disease that you can catch, and so on and so forth. It's just making people aware that, you know, this too is a special need that needs attention. There need to be laws enacted to make sure that the rights of these children are not violated. And I know I do long speeches, talks about autism, children with autism, adults on the spectrum, whether it be Asperger's, pervasive developmental disorders, PDD, NOS, you name it, right to ADHD, ADD, ODD, oppositional defiant disorder, and that I do lengthy speaks on those. And I have yet to really provide a good online session to do with diabetes. So it is my hope that after this program, that I can also set up some other programs that have to do with helping to pass legislature process through Senate into Congress, local government, and abroad, to help get these acts enabled to protect the rights of our children. And so what it's all about, I think I've already mentioned. But that music, by the way, was something that I played on the guitar just as it fell in. I hope you enjoyed that. Let me go on to where she's called it. Serendipity. A consumer class action lawsuit settlement generated a $5 million Cypre award, which was given to the Illinois Institute of Technology, Chicago Kent College of Law, to fund pro bono legal representation for discrimination cases against people with diabetes. Lead counselors for the Chicago Kent team, Ed Krause, Lori Andrews, and Julie Berger, partnered with Elder and the American Diabetes Association in 2007 to provide children and their families the legal help that they desperately needed. Krause explains, quote, "The federal laws that protect students with diabetes are toothless, without uniform enforcement. And in Illinois, the fact pattern is clear. Some children are protected, others are not. Misguided school policies cause real harm. There are numerous instances where children are not allowed to check their blood glucose in class. Now that is wrong. Forced to go to the school's health office whenever they need routine care. Children have fallen unconscious in hallways just trying to get to the care that the school allows them to have." Now I want to stop right there and mention this. Okay. When my daughter was first diagnosed, we didn't have any problems going to the school and speaking to the teachers and the principal about this, about what was going on and what was expected of them as teachers, you know, as that are going to be watching our daughter, making sure that she's healthy and safe. Now, they didn't have a school nurse, which I think in this area, and all over the United States, but I think that that's the key right there, is to make sure that we have school nurses available for when our kids need help. Now, most school nurses, I'm not sure, really 100% sure about my child's school, but I'm pretty sure she only attends the school there about once a week, maybe, which is simply not enough for. And I know right now, I believe there's two people with type 1 diabetes in that school. So just having the laws aren't going to do it, okay? I mean, they're going to do a lot, but to make sure that you tell the teachers in the school that he or she, my child, is allowed to check their blood glucose right in the classroom. They cannot be forced to go to the school health office. They can't. They may not make it. A child can go into diabetic coma or ketoacidosis and very much in need of emergency medical health care. And they very well could die. So it's not a joke here. They need to be able to check their blood glucose in the classroom. Now, I stopped here for a reason, because I know when we first started speaking to the teachers at a child's school, they were very good with all the information and everything. But one teacher had said, well, I'll make sure that she calls, but she's got to come to the office and to use the phone. And we had to say, no, she's allowed to check her blood in the classroom. So you need to make sure of that. The child is allowed to check their blood in the classroom. Don't allow them to go anywhere. Because if they get up and they walk, they pass out, they go into a coma, they never wake up, okay? But it's not a good thing. It's not something to joke around with, okay? It's very serious, it's very important. And we need to make sure that that's available to them in the classroom. Next, teachers have mistaken insulin pumps for iPods. Okay, they've snatched them, ripping out the infusion sets inserted into children's abdomen. Now, this didn't happen in my child's school, but My youngest daughter with the diabetes was taking, she was practicing basketball, and, you know, because she wears a pump when she's playing basketball and all that. When it came to her first game, I think it was her very first game, we attended the game. And she had, you know, this little thin pair of green running shorts and a tank top, and underneath her tank top, clipped onto her shorts, was her insulin pump with her infusion set that's guided into her abdomen. And it has to stay in for anywhere from 3 to 4 days, depending upon the supply and how long, you know, if it provides the insulin for her, and it's fine, there's no kinks, stuff like that, then she can go with the set for, you know, up to 3 days. And we don't allow her to go over 3 days. We just think that's good to practice. But she was wearing a pump, and one of the, you know, it's so wrong in the public's eyes. So it's up to us to make sure the public are aware. Anyway, this lady voiced it out, you know, her thought about it. Is that a cell phone that she's wearing? She shouldn't be wearing a cell phone in the game. That's going to cause a lot of problems. If my daughter gets hurt because of that cell phone. And so I guess it caused quite a ruckus to where the referee had to ask her. And it's so good because we knew the referee. And she knows about diabetes. And it was so good. Not in your face type of thing, you know, to this lady that was, you know, kind of acting beyond her, out of control at the time. She just asked her, she simply asked her, she goes, can you just turn the pump inside your shorts instead of outside, and then we'll be okay. And sure, it was fine. Things were fine. Nobody else had a problem with that. And everybody, of course, I'm sure it was an embarrassment to our daughter, which I'm sorry for that. But, you know, she had to take it and turn it around in front of everybody. And I just hope sincerely hope that this lady that was causing quite the ruckus over that pump, thinking that it was a cell phone, a play toy, you know, I just hope that she learned something from this. And that's what it's all about, folks, learning something from each other. I want to check here. We have no callers. I want to check the chat room real quick, and there's nobody in the chat room. Just for your information, I can't really keep up with the chat myself, so I'm closing out of the chat room. I'm sorry. I'm closing out. 19 minutes remaining in the program, just to go on here. Let me find some more information here because I think it's really important what Suzanne Elder has done. Anyway, she said, teachers have mistaken insulin pumps for iPods and snatched them, ripping out their infusion sets inserted into the children's abdomen. Parents have had to confront school districts just to win back a child's right to carry and eat a glucose tab in school. A little training and a little sugar can go a long way, says Krause. A diagnosis of diabetes changes a child's life forever, but it does not alter or erase a child's right to an education. Our job is to ensure that children with diabetes have the same opportunities that other children have, says Krause. Krause loves his work, but is eager to see his bill pass and begin building a culture of cooperation and compliance. Our kids belong to their classrooms and not in courtrooms. Political pragmaticism. Stymied and frustrated by the lack of responsiveness in the Senate, both on this issue and more generally on the campaign finance reform, Elder ran for office in 2008, and that's when she and Steens met. They were rival candidates. Steens beat Elder in the primary, but didn't stop Elder. After a brief cooling off period, Elder called Steens and asked her to take a leadership role on the bill. We were rivals for a short period, but what we have in common is more lasting. We are both parents. We both care about good policy. And the bill would be heard in the committee before heading to the floor for a vote. Krause and Elder were optimistic. After years of hard work, lawmakers and schools understand this issue better than they did before. What's more is that they realize that litigation is expensive for them, too. And it's a lousy substitute for positive legislation, says Crowe. Initially, anger is what caused community activist Suzanne Elder to run for the state Senate, Carol Ronan's Democrat Chicago open seat. When Elder heard in October of 2007 that Ronan announced her resignation and Heather Steens of a prominent North Shore family had her blessing to run for open seat, she rushed in to gather enough signatures to get into the ballot. Elda said that her outrage motivated a run. The bringing fairness to politics is something she has always been interested in. Elda, who has a strong background in public policy, is no stranger to Springfield. When her daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, her family's personal struggle with access and education and disability rights motivated Elder to write a bill that passed the House in the spring of 2007. In addition to her advocacy, Elder is a health policy analyst for the Institute of Policy and Research at the University of Chicago and a small business owner. She is also a consultant for adolescent reproductive health initiatives. Windy City Times, what motivated you to run for office? Suzanne Elder replied, initially, to be honest, it was outrage. What has been going on in this district has been going on for nearly 40 years. The initial reaction was outrage. Is your outrage coming from pay-to-play politics? Where is it coming from? Suzanne Elder responds, it is. It is a failure of representation. It is very simple principle, but I really feel strongly about it. Politics does not necessarily have to be played exclusively as an inside game. If we keep ratifying the status quo, we're going to keep marginalizing and excluding more and more people and more voices. and we're just going to keep getting more and more of the same old, you know. It's become so costly. It's idealistic, sure, but that hasn't sustained me. What is going on down there in Springfield is just really bad. We have to start somewhere. And why not me? And that's what we have to ask ourselves. Why not me? Okay? In scrolling down, I'm just looking through this briefly guided. Okay. As I mentioned, okay, the progress report for this act. Let me mention the progress report, and I'll work backwards, okay, from Suzanne Elder's doings. Okay, this is Suzanne Elder's act. Very courageous and very generous, but very responsive act to pass the CARE Act. March 2nd, just a few days ago, okay, March 2nd, 2010, the CARE Act passes the Senate Public Health Committee on a 10-0 vote. Just in last month, in February 23rd, a brief spot about diabetes at school airs on CBS News in Chicago. On February 15th of 2010, parent advocates contact legislators to build support for the CARE of Students with Diabetes Act. Just 4 days prior to that, Representative Tom Cross and Senator Heather Stearns filed the CARE Act in both the House and the Senate. Okay. January 4th, Representative Tom Cross hosted a meeting with Senator Heather Stearns, Senator Don Harmon, Ed Kraus, Jim Reitemacher, and Susan Elder. Suzanne Elder, to review the plan for the next legislative session. Back in December of 2009, Senator Steins meets with Ed Kraus, Jim Reitemacher, and Suzanne Elder, discuss the bill and opportunities in its advancement. So you can see how this has progressed. Now, listen here, I'm going to take you way back through the years, going way back to the beginning. Probably not even her beginning, but way back to as far as I can go on here that I have researched so far. Okay, as far as I can tell, in December 15th of 2006, the bill was pre-filled for the 95th General Assembly by the House Republican leader, Representative Tom Cross. On January 23rd of 2007, Suzanne Elder met with representatives of the Illinois Association of School Nurses. Thank God. I'm so glad that she mentioned school nurses in this. With that, I'm going to close out of that Microsoft Word program. I just wanted to note here that there's nobody in the call list. Now, I think I'm going to do something special here and spontaneous. Hopefully she's open to it. I'm going to try to go get my daughter. So while I'm doing this, I'm going to need my fill-in music. So please bear with me just a moment, and I'm going to bring back, hopefully I'll bring back my daughter. Her name is Gabby, or Gabrielle, and I'll see if I can get her on this radio program with any such luck. So wish me luck. Here I go. Like I told you, I was going to go get my daughter, and she's entering the room right now. So, okay, Gabby, you are live on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm your dad, and I'm your host. Gabby, why don't you introduce yourself?
My name's Gabby. I'm going to be turning 14 years old on March 19th.
Woohoo!
Yay.
Yay. Gabby, how long have you had diabetes type 1?
About 6 years.
Since you was 8 years old. Has it been a struggle, or has it been pretty good for you?
I struggle sometimes.
Sometimes? Can you name times when that was a struggle for you?
Like changing my pump site and checking my blood and being behind, like, lunch lines.
Being behind lunch lines? Yeah, can you describe that a little bit at school?
Like, people will be washing up and I'm still checking my blood and they're already downstairs and I'm just washing up.
Oh, I see. So you have to go, like, right back to the end of the line?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have what's called a mini med pump, right?
Yeah.
And you change it about every 3 to 4 days.
Yeah.
Every 3 days, two
yep.
to 3 days. Your mother's, I can hear a mother yelling, 2 to 3 days! So you mentioned checking in your sights, and sometimes it's difficult for you, and I know it brings you to tears at times when you're trying to inject a spot and it just doesn't hit the right spot. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I just put it in sometimes and it hits the vein.
It hits the vein?
Yeah.
Okay. Or it's something in there, a pain, a sensory, a nerve or something, right? That it causes you a lot of pain.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the school that you go to? Are they pretty good on checking with you about your diabetes? I know you pretty much do everything yourself now, but do they still check on you once
yeah.
in a while?
Yeah.
And how do they do that?
Like, I tell them when I feel weird, they're always, like, telling me what to do, that, like, eat something.
Oh, well, that's good. eat, right? Yeah. How are they on allowing you to take your sugar tablets if you need one?
Oh, they're pretty good about that.
Yeah. Now, you carry something with you all the time in case of an emergency. What is that? Is it a glucagon?
Yeah, glucagon.
What does it look like?
It's just like a big needle, and it's liquid in a needle, and there's a pill inside the bottle, and you just squirt the liquid in, put it back in the needle.
Okay.
And poke it in my thigh if I ever pass out.
If you ever pass out. How are you going to do that if you pass out?
Somebody has to be there and poke it in.
Somebody has to be there and poke it in. Okay. So who's going to be there? So that's what's important here, too, in enacting legislation like Suzanne Elder has done. It's important to know that you're going to need a teacher or a school nurse or somebody that's there all the time, in fact, to be responsible. Now, I know you had and I've already mentioned on the show, but I know you've had a few problems with way back in the beginning when you first started going to school with before you had a pump. Way back in the beginning, you had a problem with, and it was with the teacher saying that you needed to go to the office in case you needed to use the phone. Well, what was the problem with that?
My classroom was upstairs, and I could have fallen down the stairs if I was weak.
That's exactly right. But even if you was down on the lower floor, it still would have been difficult, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So, what other kind of problems have you had with diabetes? I know you have, you got to be careful of your feet, like stepping on a nail or something like that. Minor cuts, things like that can be very important with diabetes. But
blurry vision with high blood sugar.
Really? So, do you have blurred vision?
Sometimes.
Do you wear glasses?
No.
Are you supposed to wear glasses?
The eye doctor said that I don't have to.
Why?
Okay. I have good vision, I guess.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, that's good. And how is, like, you change your sites often, right?
Yep.
Where are these sites located on your body?
Just on my stomach.
Around your stomach area?
Yeah.
I know you can put them on your back, too, right?
Yeah.
Things like that.
I used to put it on my butt, but no.
You
no
did?
Anymore. Yeah.
Right on your butt.
Right on my butt.
Okay. I know one other thing I mentioned, but maybe you can give more light to it. And we have 4 minutes left in the program, by the way. But I wanted to you to mention that one time there was, because I may have gotten this wrong, okay, so I want to hear my daughter's perspective of this. Way back when you first started, not back when you first had diabetes, but back when you got the pump. Remember when you got the pump and you was playing basketball? And something happened, and somebody was screaming in the audience, and somebody was causing a ruckus, thinking that the pump was a cell phone.
Yeah, the referee.
So, the referee was?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I got that wrong. I thought it was a lady in the crowd. But it was a referee that we know. We know the referee.
It was Mr. Beal.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, what happened there?
Well, it was falling off because I had no other place to put it because there's no pockets.
Right.
And it was falling out in the
But he was pretty good about it. What did
yeah.
he tell you to do?
He told me to untuck my shirt so that it could hide underneath the shirt.
Ah, there you go. Okay. See, I tend to exaggerate, I think, a little bit on that part. So I'm sorry for that confusion. But there you have it, straight from Gabby. Do you remember anything about, I know she's had ketoacidosis before. Can you describe what you have to do when your blood sugars are very, very, very high and they won't come down?
I have to change my pump. I have to change my pump site and check my ketones. And
how do you check your ketones?
I take the ketone strip and urinate on it and see what level it is.
Okay, and if your level's high, then it means
call
the ambulance or go to the hospital immediately. I know this has happened a few times back before when she first started with the diabetes. What happened was Gabby had what's called a GAD65 gene that she's had ever since she was ever since conception. The GAD65 gene. She carried genetically from, through family genetics, through her roots, and when her immune system was down, she had the flu bug or something, and that GAD65 gene took over and attacked her pancreas, and then it killed the pancreas, and so now she has basically what the pump does, the insulin pump, it acts as a pancreas on the outside of her body. Because her pancreas is no longer involved. It no longer is an operation. So people, when they first start having this diabetes type 1, when they first start noticing that they have this, usually there's an increased thirst, frequent urination. We only have 90 seconds left in the program, but they have... Frequent urination, what else were you doing? You was running to the bathroom all the time. You was
drinking
a lot of water in the middle of the night. We didn't know until we found cups in the bathroom nearby the sink. She was very hungry. Can you say that again for the audience?
I peed in your bed.
Oh, thank you very much. We only have 60 seconds left, but I do want to, I know Suzanne Elder wasn't here to join us, but Suzanne Elder, Gabby, was, I just want to let you know, she passed, she created the law to help children with diabetes, okay, such as you. She helped create a law in Illinois that passed. She was also a state in the state legislature. Can't even say that word, and she's been advocating for people all over the United States, but particularly in her neck of the woods in Illinois, and But she's been a voice for her daughter, who also has type 1 diabetes. And that's her goal and her struggle. With 10 seconds left in the program, I just want to say, Suzanne, although Suzanne wasn't able to join us this evening, I do look forward to her comments. I will forward this to her as soon as possible. And as I get her comments, I will post them up on my Facebook page. Gabby, I thank you very much for being on this program this evening. With that being said, I just want to say, people out there, keep on keeping on. Gabby, do you have anything left to say to everybody?
No, thank you.
Okay, good. Okay, and God bless everyone. With that, I'll end the program. Y'all have a good night. You're welcome. Thank you.